Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and happy Monday. Welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
On a day in which we woke up to football, we're going to go to sleep to football. We're going to have football tomorrow morning. It's going to be football not just every night, Mike Harmon. We will now have football every single day. We're going to have one afternoon slash early evening game followed by a nightcap Monday all the way through to Friday, Saturday for college football. And then we have the whole day on Sunday like normal. This is how it's going to be.
And if I got to keep watching the Cowboys, I think I'm going to need a nightcap soon.
Good Lord. This is America's team you're talking about. There are millions upon millions of people watching the Cowboys suck this much.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a heavy number. There's no question about it. It's just now you're either hate watching or you're just praying for something for your fantasy team.
Oof. Right now.
Take that, Michael Gallup.
Yeah, you lived and died a thousand deaths when he dropped that touchdown pass in the second quarter, didn't you?
Well, it's just one of those, like, we do the I Want Your Flex podcast, and sometimes there's a guy that you bring up repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And after watching Andy Dalton with Michael Gallup last week when he came on in relief of the injured Dak Prescott, it's like, here's where you put some chips. Let's put a big pile of chips on him. We had a nice pile on Christian Kirk, too. So, you know, we've got a yin and yang thing going on. But Gallup hitting would have made me feel really good, and I'd be really positive as I talked in tonight's episode of I Want Your Flex that we'll tape later on. But right now, it's all just hate watching.
Somehow, Andy Dalton, despite being 18 for 24, well, now make it 18 for 25 with an interception, as he has just been picked off. Kirkpatrick comes down with it. The Cowboys trail the Cardinals 21-3 early in the third quarter. The Cowboys' offense tonight, I can't say it's been terrible because they've moved the football. However, Ezekiel Elliott fumbles twice. The Cardinals score off of both of those. They get a big touchdown pass to Christian Kirk. It's an 80-yard touchdown. And the Cowboys look up, and it's what is happening to us. It's not that the Cowboys are terrible. I mean, look, they've run for 70 yards, and Zeke is finding some holes. They're not committing to the run as much, but now they can't because they're down by three scores. Right. But this is not. It's just been mistakes at the worst time for the Cowboys, and clearly their defense is every bit as bad as we've talked about, and the Cardinals are now on their way to what looks like it's going to be a commanding victory just because the Cowboys can't seem to do anything right. I still think, look, this division is so incredibly awful. It's so bad that even if the Cowboys lose to drop to 2-4, they're still in first place in the NFC East. Right? And the Giants, who got their first win of the season yesterday, are only one game out of first place. I mean, that's how bad it is. The Giants were 0-5 and their season is over, and they're talking about, well, do we keep Daniel Jones, or do we, if we wind up getting the number one pick, we draft Trevor Lawrence and all these things happening. Now it's, oh, no, we can win this division, man. We got one win. We can win this division. We've had bad divisions, Mike. I mean, I get it. We had the bad season a couple years ago when the Seahawks won at 7-9, and that was embarrassing. But top to bottom, this is just so off. I mean, I can't remember a division being this bad where we're almost at the halfway point of the season and a team's going to be 2-4 and they're going to be in first place by a half game. That's the NFC East.
Well, I think you're just going to determine it by how many starters do you have projected, all 22, that are still upright? How about that? Just because then you at least have a full-bodied staff going in, right? Philadelphia to drop like flies just when you try to start putting things together. Nope, not yet. DeSean Jackson once again. I'm not ready yet. Okay, good. And then they proceed to drop several touchdown passes or big completions from Carson Wentz. You've got the Cowboys that we're watching now. They are what they are. The Giants' offensive line's bad. They went to Freeman in the free agency market. He's a Jag. All right, there's two. It's in Washington. What else is there to say? They lost to the Giants. and had to have a furious comeback to make it a one-point game. So they're terrible. So, yeah, 5-10-1 could actually win you this division. How about
that?
The Eagles with their tie.
5-10-1. I'm hearing this is coming out now, and I have to find my sources on this, but the Jets are actually trying to petition to be included in the NFC East this year, where, depending on tonight's result, they would only be two games out of first place. So they're still right there if they can get to the NFC East.
Now, I mean, I could make the tactless joke that if a bunch of COVID outbreaks happen, they may have to shuffle divisions. Does that help you?
Oh, wow. That would be a really tactless joke in that. Wow.
Well, which is why
you're going to get struck by lightning
by saying
now.
Now
you're getting struck by lightning.
But in this terrible 2020, hey, man, they've come up with all sorts of randomness to keep the line moving. So that certainly is the case. I do want to stick up for Andy Dalton on that interception to Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick absolutely trucked CeeDee Lamb at midfield.
That should have been a pass interference call that was not thrown.
So that's why Andy Dalton was still standing on the field. For anybody that, you know, is listening to us here at Fox Sports Radio, hi, welcome in, and thanks for being part of the family. And saw Andy Dalton still standing out there, and you're yelling, "Get off the field, you dope! You threw an interception." That's what he was waiting on, for some piece of laundry as people got back up off the field.
No, he forgot what down it was.
Never came.
Yeah,
those takes were really hot and fiery until they, like we said they would Friday, absolutely obliterated the Packers.
So we'll keep you updated on the Cowboys again. 21-3, the Cardinals have the football. They are driving. Kenyon Drake looks like he's finally getting loose a little bit. He now has 61 yards to go along with his short touchdown run as the Cardinals are in Cowboys territory now. But earlier tonight, or I can't say tonight, today, well, here in L.A., it started at 2 o'clock. On the East Coast, it started at 5 o'clock. It was really weird sitting down, getting in front of my television at 2 o'clock going, "Oh, yeah, the game is on." And turning on an NFL game, and it was a good game, obviously coming in. Chiefs and the Bills were a good game, talking about two of the best teams in the AFC. And it was weird. I'm sitting on the couch, and my wife and I are watching the game while Zoe's still in school, doing school in the other room. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, this is weird. I feel like it's like Christmas week. When you're on vacation and you're not doing anything, and there's a bowl game on at like noon. And on a Wednesday, and you just turn it on and watch it. Oh, yeah, USC is playing Colorado State in the Sun Bowl. We're going to watch that right now. That's kind of what it felt like to 2 o'clock. We're gonna watch a bowl game because it's the middle of the day and we got a football game on. But you know what? 2020. It's any other time, any other year, it would be, can you believe we're playing a football game on Monday afternoon? Yep, 2020. We get used to everything pretty fast. And I got to say, that was the feel I got today was, okay, well, then we got a Monday afternoon football game. We're going to have another one tonight. And it was it took me out of it a little bit. But then I got into it. I mean, then it seemed pretty normal. Once the game started going, we got into the second quarter. But just still, man, it's like, all day Sunday and then Mondays. I barely even started my day. And, we got a football game at 2 o'clock. It's going to take me all the way to dinner. I'm like, oh, wow. Suddenly the day is filled up.
Hey, is there a way to start a change.org petition? Forget about the division things for the Jets for the moment. Mm-hmm. Can we get this doubleheader on Mondays going forward? I'm digging this, man.
Take away the
Sunday night game, just move it to early Monday afternoon. Nobody's in the stands anyway.
Yeah, but I don't think the networks are going to we're going to put our game on when people are turning on TV going, that's not Wendy Williams. What the hell is this going on?
You're making a choice between Wendy Williams, General Hospital, or Kyler Murray.
Is General Hospital even still?
Yes, it is.
The operas are still on.
It's one of the greatest things of all time. They're back in production, too.
Okay. Are Luke and Laura still on?
Blackie Parrish is coming back. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh,
Vanessa Marcel's coming back. They're all coming back, baby.
Wow. Look at you. You're excited.
Middle of the afternoon. The kids are doing homework. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the networks are going to say, yeah, we want a game on. We want to put the defending Super Bowl champions, most exciting player in the NFL on 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday.
You know what? I was honestly surprised they didn't try to work a flop on this one. Can we please put the hapless Cowboys on earlier? I know they were America's team.
No,
that day's gone. Come on. Patrick Mahomes.
Cowboys could be 0-7. It wouldn't matter. Everybody. The Cowboys and the Yankees, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how bad they are. Are they a train wreck? Everybody wants to watch.
I'm not getting nearly enough booth shots tonight, by the way.
What'd you say?
I'm not getting nearly enough booth shots right now for all the misery.
Well,
where's Jerry at?
Well, maybe Jerry Jones has said, listen, no camera work until the third quarter, and then only if we're winning. And if we're not winning, I'm not going to be in the booth anyway. So yeah, there you go. Good luck. Good luck, ESPN. the thing is, with the game today, right, watching the Chiefs outlast the Bills in a game that, as dominant as the Chiefs were, and here's the funny thing about the game today, as dominant as they were, the Bills were very happy to play the game that way. All right, Kansas City wins 26-17, and in it, of course, a big story. Look at what they did. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire runs for 160 yards. They run for 245 as a team. They're gaining 5 yards every single time they run the football. It was, look how dominant the Chiefs are. Yeah, but then look at the middle of the fourth quarter when it was 23-17 and the Bills had the football. All right, when you can take the Kansas City Chiefs and say, all right, yeah, not that they wanted them to run the football, but when they get lulled into that, and that's not who the Chiefs are. This should have been a 40-17 game in the fourth quarter. And sure, the weather had a little bit to do with it because it was rainy, but nothing has ever stopped Patrick Mahomes before. A little bit of rain shouldn't have done that. But like the Chiefs got lulled into, well, we can run for 5 yards a pop every single time. I don't know why we don't do it. Well, when you run for 5 yards a pop, you got to convert a lot of third downs. And eventually you're going to get to a third down in the drive where you don't convert and you're going to have to punt. You're going to say, boy, that was really weird for us. And the Chiefs did not score a lot of points. And had the Bills had a better rushing attack or been able to keep the ball away from the Chiefs a little bit, they would have won this game. I mean, this was a blueprint on how do you beat the Chiefs and in the playoffs when things are going on, right? And you can talk defensively all you want about, oh, we have to make sure we push Mahomes to the middle of the field and have, you know, athletic defensive ends and athletic defensive line that doesn't let them get outside and funnels them towards the middle, because that's clearly what's worked before. But if you can take them away from who they are, a lightning strike chunk yardage team that suddenly you can look up and you're down 21 points and the game is over, you made the Chiefs grind this one out.
Yep.
And not that you're going to allow them to get 5 yards a carry, but if they run the football, well, look at what happened. They got away from who they were. And while it looked dominant, it was still a one-score game. And the Bills, had they had anything going on at all on offense, they would have been able to win this football game. And look, the Bills are a good team, but you can still see they're limited when it comes to the best of the best teams in the NFL. They still don't have enough offense, just not quite enough firepower, not quite enough playmakers. For the AFC East is fine, but for the rest of the big contenders, it's a big deal. But you took the Chiefs away and said, go ahead, we are happy with you running the football. A team that could have done a little bit more on offense beats the Chiefs. And a lot of teams, I guarantee you, saw this game today and said, okay, we want to make them think they can run the football. And then we let them do that all day long. And then suddenly it's the middle of the fourth quarter, and it feels like they're dominating, but it's a one-score game, and we are within one score of them, and we can pull this off because we have a better offense than a team like the Bills does. This is a big blueprint today, even though the Chiefs should have won this game by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, going on both sides, right? Because we've seen Tennessee and now Kansas City make Josh Allen look human after that great first month. People are jumping off the bandwagon like rats from a burning or sinking ship, whichever visual you want. Total yards, 466 to 206. But it's just like when we were asking the question about penalties, right? Long protracted drives, what kills you? A holding penalty, a false start penalty. All those things make it that much more difficult and greatly decrease the likelihood that you're finding points at the end of your drive. For the Bills, great job of keeping everything in front of them, right? You didn't have those big plays. A couple of great catches by Kelce, a couple of big yak kind of situations, off-screen passes, and obviously Edwards-Helaire had himself a great game saying, stay away, Le'Veon Bell, it's my job. Beat it. But they did a good job overall, and it's a one-score game, and early on, Mahomes put a couple of balls up for grabs. That's why you play defense. You don't catch those balls because they should have had a couple of picks on him early. You know, if everybody's going to go and bash Josh Allen for a couple of errant throws, which, look, he made a few mistakes, and obviously you have the interception at the end that is just a desperation toss. But Kelce with the fumble, trying to take advantage of that. But, you know, Mahomes put the ball in harm's way too. Just lived to see another down and then made the Bills pay. And they ground up clock and they're able to move. So it's just for Singletary and Zach Moss coming back off the injured list. You know, when Josh Allen is your only real effective runner, that's a problem. And that's something that's been there for the Bills all season long, that if they don't rectify, this hot start is going to go away really fast, even in the rough and tumble AFC East.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike, it's Swollen Dome. It is rough and tumble. I'm telling you, wait till the Jets move to the NFC East to give them a chance. You just watch what happens. They'll trade for people at the deadline. It's going to be great. They'll get Matt Ryan. They'll get all great players. And suddenly, hey, the Jets are good. Hey, we move them to the NFC East. It's working out great.
Well, they did make a trade today. So that was good.
Right after the game, they made a trade.
Yeah. Right after the game. Within several minutes, it gets completed.
Yeah.
As soon as that Green Bay-Tampa game went final. Got back to the locker room. It's like, hey, we just acquired a new guy. Great.
Yeah. And Steve McClendon, who the Jets traded right after the game, I read today, he just got right in a car and went and drove from Miami to Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't need to get any of my stuff, man. You keep it. I don't need it. You guys are such a train wreck. I'm picturing driving down the road like Jerry Maguire when he goes to Kush, and Kush is going to stay with him, and he's trying to sing along to all the songs on the radio, and he finally gets to Free Fall, and he starts singing Free Fall at the top of his lungs. He's so excited.
But just think about it. Any guy that gets traded or signed or whatever, they always take their gear and they're handing it out to their friends and family. You know, here's all the Jets. You know, game-issued, team-issued stuff. That's all just sitting in boxes. McClendon never wanted it.
He's driving around. He's there, that Leonard Burns. Oh, and I'm free.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Just under 2 minutes left to go Monday night, and it is over in Dallas. Dallas has Gary Hogaboom is now in playing quarterback for them. They trail the Cardinals 38-10. Dallas is going to run a couple of plays, and that's going to do it. So how big a deal are the Cowboys getting blown out like this? Well, joining us now on the hotline, speaking of a man who knows about blowouts because he watches Syracuse every Saturday just like me, CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire, friend of the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. It is Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, man?
Hey, that was Babe Laufenberg. That was not Gary Hogaboom. Let's keep this all on the up and up. You know, we don't want to cast aspersions upon anyone who is not deserving of them, although anyone who collects a paycheck from the Dallas Cowboys is pretty much deserving of them these days. But, yeah, you know,
What
this
is it
game happened, and it happened.
Did they look like a team that – because, look, we talked about this a few minutes ago, that the next 2 weeks are going to tell you everything you need about the Cowboys, right? It's two winnable games. It's Washington. It's Philadelphia. Was this there still discombobulated, or was this just, hey, Dak is out. We've quit on this season?
No, they're not – look, they weren't – this is the part that cracks me up. They stunk with Dak. Like, they sucked with Dak. They were not competitive. They couldn't get any stops. You know, occasionally when they were down by multiple scores, they aired it out and got a whole bunch of chunk yards and explosion yards, you know. But they're losing outfit. They've been a losing outfit forever. I mean, It's just such a novelty to me, like how every year there's this sort of subsect of people who are like, oh, you better look out for Dallas. Like, this might be the year that Dallas wins a game in January. And like, man, have you seen their roster? And now they got Alton Smith, and ooh, wow, look out. I mean, they're gonna attack your quarterback, and they're gonna do all this nasty stuff. Really? Really? Really?
Well,
for
I mean,
real?
They're still ahead,
like,
of the NFC.
They're going to stop the run, and they're going to actually be able to defend tight ends, and they're going to be like a big boy operation, and they're going to be well run and well managed, and they're not long in the tooth and pretty much falling apart in the offensive line.
They are. Correction. They don't have an offensive line.
Like, the whole thing's a joke. It's a fallacy. And, you know, it's like it's an iconic emblem. Like, it's great. I love the star. Like, it looks good on a helmet. Looks good, you know, on the 50-yard line. All that stuff is great. It's wonderful. They suck bad. They're not even remotely close to being a competitively built football team.
Yes, they can win the division right now.
And they are not anywhere close to not being a joke. And, you know, whatever. Like, go to their games, sit in the stands. You'll be one of the lucky 20,000. Or I guess you're lucky. Like, I guess that's where you want to be. I wouldn't be there. But have fun, man. Like, take it in. It's a spectacle of, like, nothing. They're going nowhere. The Eagles are going to win that division by two or three games. And not that the Eagles are anything great. The Eagles are nothing special. But, my God, the NFC least. It's such an abject failure. It's so bad. And the Cowboys kind of embody the worst of what they are, because we talk about them all the time, right? And people ask me about them all the time. And they're the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, they're nothing.
You want to go, Jason, or you want
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I think he had some more left in him.
I was waiting for my headset to get it was in flames. Flames in the side of my face with
it
all
was
the Cowboys.
Just melting. Scorching hot.
If you guys disagree with anything I said, I would, like, I'll engage. I'm more than happy to have a, you know, jovial back and forth. But I kind of think you know what I'm saying is,
yeah, no, it's
reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's about as long as it deserves.
Look, we've talked the Cowboys. You're right, because this is another point we've made, is that as long as you understand who the Cowboys are every year, they're an 8-8-ish team,
yeah,
and that's kind of who they are. And as long as you understand that, then everything with the Cowboys makes sense. And clearly, this is a year where 8-8, you could win the NFC East by four games. So for the Cowboys, they're still in it, despite the fact that, look, the Giants won their first game of the year yesterday. They're a game out of first place.
I mean, they are and they aren't, though, because, like, they're 8-8. If everything falls their way, you know what I mean? Like, if they stay healthy and if they run the ball really well, and if, you know, the breaks go their way and it's their year, then they might max out at 8-8. But that, like, that's the thing that tears me up about them, is, like, they're like a 6-10 team, or at best they're 9-7. But that's who they always are. And everybody gets so fired up about, like, well, the rest of the division isn't that good. Yeah, they're not that good. They're nothing special at all. They haven't been anything special at all in decades. I mean, all right.
I'm
going to step back and
take a deep
breath. Collect myself.
Now, let me ask about the earlier game.
Honestly, like, when have they been a complete outfit? Like, when in the last 20 years has anybody who really spends a lot of time assessing this stuff been like, man, Dallas, this might be Dallas's year?
No, when Tom Hanks was winning
Dallas's
Oscars
year
for Forrest Gump.
You got to go back to Dez Bryant and the fourth down where I'm going to try to spike the ball on the goal line. It's incomplete. That was the end of the Dallas Cowboys. That was the year. That was the last year they had. You could say, boy, maybe this is the Cowboys' year.
And that was when all of their offensive linemen were in their prime. They were all in their mid-20s. Nobody was making any real money yet, right? You had Zeke, like, year two, and he's happy-go-lucky. Yeah, like that was their moment in time, but that was a long time ago. And they have regressed so far since then. And they stink on both sides of the ball.
It's a lot of anger. It's Jason Lockett for us.
I mean, I don't even care. Like, I have no dog in this fight. I mean, it's just reality. I guess what this really is just like, I've been asked about the Dallas Cowboys so many times in so many different forms since, like, last January. And I'm just like, can they win? Like, let's see them win something. Like, let's see them even, like, hint that they're something that we should be talking about year-round. And then I'd be glad to talk about them year-round.
Now, Dak and his contract. No, I'm just kidding, Jason. Listen, there was a game there was a game earlier today. What did we learn about the Bills and the Chiefs from earlier?
Well, the Bills are not a very good football team. I mean, I know they're 4-2, and they put some wins together. But that team, when they're right, is built around a defense that is pretty much airtight against the run. And they've also put together one of the best secondaries in the league with linebackers who can really cover, linebackers who can move, can find holes, fill up space, and can play the ball. And I know that Edwards and Milano have been hurt, but I don't know, man. I mean, it was really cute, like, you know, like when September 17th, all these people were handing Josh Allen the MVP award. Like, you're like, wow, he looked awesome for like 2.5 games. Like, I think Josh Allen's going to win the MVP. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, he might, like, but he also probably will not. But okay, like, let's have this quasi-engagement. Like, let's have this faux correspondence about this, MVP season for Josh Allen. And they're a decent football team, but what really scares me about them is they have not been anywhere close to the like their baseline performance from 2019 on defense, let alone their like peak performance from 2019 on defense. And that has to scare people. I mean, that's what their like identity, their id was supposed to be, was, well, you can't run on us on first down, and you can't pass on us on second down, and you can't pass on us on third down. So what are you going to do? And we're going to chase your quarterback all over the place for, you know, 15 to 17 snaps a game. Yeah, that's not what's going on. That whole division is kind of crazy, and maybe right now, 6 weeks in, Miami, I mean, I'm kind of biting my tongue as I say this, but like maybe Miami is kind of going to mess around and make something happen in the second half of an NFL season for the first time in a long time. But New England's offensive line is really beat up right now, and they need to get Cam practicing day in, day out. But they don't have anybody to throw the ball to. I mean, they have no downfield presence whatsoever. And, you know, I think Buffalo's a good team. They're not great. So, you know, we'll see what happens when they start playing within that division. There hasn't been that many games played within that division. But I just don't think Buffalo is – I think they're still in that good, not great category. And Kansas City probably is great, and Pittsburgh probably is close to great, and Baltimore might be close to great. So I think that's going to kind of leave Buffalo chasing the pack like they have been the last few years.
Jason Lockin for with the CBS Sports NFL Insider, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. And all right, so I ask you this, Jason, because I asked Mike this earlier, and he went with the answer I thought it was going to be. If I said to you, okay, you had to bet money that the rest of this season, the Jets either go 0-16 or they win at least one game, what are you betting on?
It's hard to go 0-16. I mean, I can't.
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty easy for this Jets team to go 0-16.
And they're terrible. They're terrible. Charles Barkley says they're terrible. I don't know what they can hang their hat on. I don't know what they do well. I don't know what their calling card is. But, man, it's – wow, it's hard not to win a game for 3 months.
Yeah, but nothing. They're not going to change anything. It's still, they decided to go through the motions. Their coaching staff hates each other. They're not good coaches.
Yeah.
There's nobody that they can play against where you can say, boy, that could be a win. This was the week, and they got shut out. This is the one week, and
well,
they got shut out.
I don't know if this is – and I have to – honestly, like, I'd have to look at their schedule. Like, what NFC division do they match up with? Because, like, I don't know off the top of my head, like – It's not the NFC least, right? Because the NFC least matches up with the AFC North, which is a total mismatch. That's bad news for the NFC.
They've got
least.
the NFC West.
Yeah, that's like that.
Yeah, that's four losses. That's the best division in football. So that's four losses. Yeah.
Look. They're a horrid operation right now. Like, they are. Like, they're not ready for prime time. They're not ready for 1 p.m. on Sunday with 9 other games in the regional window.
Jets, internet only. All right, well, that's where I got to go to watch that one.
Treat it like a London game, 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, I you know what? They have a left tackle of the future, and they have nothing else.
No, I said the actually. Jets have three or four players. This is how bad it is. They have three or four players that could start for any team, right? They have Mekhi Becton, who could be great. Like, that's how good he could be. Jamison Crowder, and then possibly Quinnen Williams and Marcus May, and that's it. That's it. That's a list of players who could start on other teams.
Yeah, no, it's like it's an abject failure wrapped in a disaster, wrapped in a fortune cookie of misery. Like it's yeah, they're horrible. Like they are a truly, truly horrible operation. And in a year where there's 10 teams that have won one game or fewer, this is the crazy thing to me. Like, the haves and the have-nots are so separated this year, like even more so than the normal year. They're the worst of the worst. Like, it's like they're abject failures. And then Jacksonville is kind of sort of nipping at their heels a little bit, but only not that much. And then there's a whole nother, like, subsect of like 5 to 7 teams that fall in under them. But for the Jets to have separated themselves from the pack in a year that is so divisive. Chef's kiss. C'est bon. Magnifique. It's unbelievable. It really is kind of unparalleled.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora for French lessons as well. Or NFL
yeah, well,
breakdown.
That's the extent of it right there. Parlez-vous français.
Thanks a bunch, Jay. Appreciate it as always,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
We'll talk to you next week.
Hang in there, buddy.
Woo, he was on fire tonight. My goodness, yeah. Jason Lockenfora rolling, bringing the heat. He's like the emperor, absolute power.
Yeah, that was next level. Let me interject for about 30 seconds, much like when Samuel L. Jackson was being accosted by Hayden Christensen, just enough time for the emperor to reload and come back over the top. No, they suck. I'm like, whoa.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
With the World Series starting tomorrow, no real days off. We're going to take 24 hours off and let both the Dodgers and Rays pitching staffs, who their arms are hanging by a thread, we're going right back out there to play. Don't worry, we're right back out there tomorrow night. It's going to be Glasnow against Kershaw in Game 1 of the World Series. it was some kind of ending to the AL and NLCS this weekend with the Rays holding on, the Dodgers in a game that was so tense. I don't know how Dodger fans watched the top of the ninth inning yesterday, knowing that, oh my goodness, it's so close, it could all fall apart. Is Urias going to pitch? Is Kenley Jansen going to come in? It was so full of tension. It's everything you wanted a baseball game to be, and it felt like a real October, and it was that kind of moment.
And I'll tell you this, though, Jason, that was the first time I agreed with any of the pitching changes by Dave Roberts. So there.
Yeah, oh, I said, you know, you got it. You know, Urias was pitching so well, you had to leave him in. You had to leave him in and then have Jansen just in case. So I said, let me tweet this out so I can get out in front of this. This was a good move, and it turned out to be the right one. Look, Urias was pitching great, right? He was it. I mean, you may now have found a guy that you have to save. He can't come in the fifth inning anymore. He may be a guy that comes into the eighth. He may be your guy to come in for six or seven out saves in the World Series. He may be the new Kenley Jansen for that. But what was said before on the show doesn't matter anymore because now we have the World Series that we have to pick.
Wait,
now,
No. Well, wait Mike's just a Rays, second, McMahon.
Mike's Rays, who
and
he
his
to
Dodgers.
Go to the, hang on. Mike's Rays, who we picked to go to the World Series before the playoffs started, have made it. Doesn't matter what I picked. It matters where we're at right now. Dodgers
Mike
and
picked
the
Dodgers and the Rays before the season.
Dodgers
and
the Rays.
Before the playoffs.
Yeah. Listen, what you picked is great. What I picked doesn't matter because it's about where we're at right now. So Dodgers and the Rays. Look, this series, the Dodgers are going to win in six games. All right. Tampa Bay is a nice and a solid team, but their lineup is not nearly what the Atlanta Braves lineup is. I told you those are the two best teams in Major League Baseball, and they were separated by one game, one run. I told you the series would go seven. It was as close as it could be. All right, now, the Rays' bullpen is pretty solid, but it's gettable. The Dodgers' lineup is relentless. This is one of those cases where good hitting beats good pitching, especially when the pitching is gassed. And that's the big deal, is that now, even though they only played a 60-game regular season, these playoffs have been an incredible wave of tired going on with rubber arm pitchers who now had to pitch every single day, and they're cooked. All right, if the Rays had been able to take care of the Astros when they were up 3-0 and they win in four or five games and everybody gets rest and you can line up your rotation and your relievers have time to rest, I might pick this series different. But the Rays relievers, because the Astros came back, they are just as gassed as the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have a better lineup, so I'm going Dodgers in six over the Rays.
Yeah, that was where I started. That's where I'll stay. In six, Dodgers over Rays. I'm curious to see what Glasnow's got for game one. He has struggled quite a bit, 4.66 ERA, 25 strikeouts against 8 walks. So that ratio is pretty solid, but he is hittable. He is gettable. What'll be fun to watch in this series is you've got two teams that do love to flash the leather, which is, you know, rare that you can say that you're going to see runs taken off the board. It's going to come down to base running and seeing how deep you can get those starters to go. And so for game one, everybody's already wringing their hands going, all right, what happens at the top of the sixth with Clayton Kershaw? What do we got? Where are we at?
No, then it's Urias coming in. Hey, you can pitch the last four innings, right, and save this? Yes, got it. We're good.
Just wish there was one or two more days off. But you know what? A little bit of a home field advantage. Obviously, Mookie Betts knows all the angles by this point.
So there it is. Mike, you could go all the way wire to wire here. And Dodgers Rays, here we are, getting set for tomorrow night. Clayton Kershaw with yet another chance to redeem himself and rewrite his legacy.